Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And Jan, well, it looks like fall is here. We've officially hit the first day of fall. Now we're at the end of September. And can you believe that 2017 is almost done?
No, I can't. It's like, again, it seems as I get older, the time goes faster. But it's really been a nice month. I think this, even from the summer monsoons and on through a couple weeks ago, it's been, you know, it's been nice and cool. And I think that's been a real welcome relief to all of us in general, and certainly in our gardens as well. It's a wonderful time of the year to garden. And people, I don't think you really think about it because you think, oh, summer's over, So I'm done.
And gardeners usually plan and live in the season ahead of time. So really now we should be thinking about things that we're looking for the spring, right? So
absolutely, and getting things ready to go.
Exactly. So we're going to go over our October gardening tips on today's show. But first, we want to make sure that you do have a last few hours to be able to visit the Master Gardener booth at Ardovino's Farmers Market. They are doing their last information table and education booth out for the season. So if you have any last minute questions, you still have some time to get out there and visit with them, and then they are done for the season.
They are. I just want to give a shout out to all those people in our association that have organized and managed our Ardovinos over the summer. They've done an incredible job and done some really fun and interesting things on offering information about general subject areas a month at a time. And it takes a lot, and they've done it with a big smile on their face, and I know I've learned a lot from the times that I was able to participate. So kudos to everybody that works at Ardovino's.
A dedicated bunch out there. So even though we will not be out there anymore, the farmer's market is a year-round farmer's market, so make sure that you still go out there and support Ardovino's. They're a great supporter of Extension and our Master Gardener program.
And the city of El Paso in general.
Most definitely. And we're not done for the season yet. The Master Gardeners will be at the Home and Garden Expo here coming up October 13th through the 15th. So it's a really great way to be able to showcase all gardening techniques, tips. We'll have a series of talks, an educational booth, and then also a kids activity corner as well. So it's a great 3-day event. The Master Gardeners will be out there from Friday to Sunday. So make sure that you stop by. You're at the Home and Garden Show asking questions, looking at vendors. We'll stop by and learn a little bit about gardening if you have some trouble with the Master Gardeners.
Exactly. And we'll have a rain barrel out there as well that we'll be demonstrating. And you can actually buy a raffle ticket and maybe win that rain barrel for preparation for spring. And they fill up quickly, and tremendous way to feed your plants with. There's something about rainwater.
There you go.
It's the best fertilizer in the world. So stop by our booth and join in the fun.
Exactly. Sounds good. So, Jan, what you got there on your October gardening tips?
Well, there's all sorts of things. There's a lot of perennials that we can take a look at planting. It's certainly, I think, a couple that come to mind right away are chrysanthemums, and they're beautiful. Used to be they only bloomed in the fall, but now I get a pretty full-time bloom on most of mine. They're perennial. The Mexican bush sage and some of your ornamental grasses are great to add to your landscape. One of my favorite things to do this time of the year is to sow seeds for wildflowers. Mm-hmm. I have a xeriscape yard in the front, and about 6 years ago, I scattered a package of red corn poppy seeds in my flower bed. Uh-huh. And I think it took 2 years. They came up the second year, and now my xeriscape in the front is full every spring for about 8 weeks of the red corn poppies. And they're absolutely gorgeous. And of course, our yellow poppies are also very popular. And so this is the time to sow those wild seeds. And it's not like you're going to sit and, you know, dig a little hole and plant a seed and so forth and so on. You're just simply going to shake them around. A good way to do it is to take some sand and put it in an old salt shaker, mm-hmm. add your seeds, and just salt the ground.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah,
with those seeds.
Those seeds are tiny. I mean, like, you can buy a small little packet and there's like 10,000 seeds.
Infinitesimal.
Right. So it almost looks like pepper.
They do
on there. So that's a great way to be able to spread those seeds on there. And I think it's important also to look at maybe some other plants that you already have in your garden as well. So things like penstemon are also great self-seeders as well. And I think the trick for that is just to really let them finish their life cycle and let those pods form. Or else if you remove them or deadhead them or take them out before they're done, you won't have any seeds for the upcoming season.
Well, and if you're a tidy Heidi, and I tend to be that way, you think, oh, that doesn't look very nice, so I'm going to pull it out or trim it back. Be patient. because those things, you know, those are like the Energizer Bunny. They're the, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. And many of those things are that way. And once you get those wildflowers going, you don't have to seed anymore. Mm-hmm. They just do it themselves. I'm really excited. I'm really hoping to get some bluebonnets going this year. And if you ever go through East Texas, of course, the birds, our birds and wildlife, just deposit those seeds everywhere. So you can do them. Those seeds have to be what we call scarified, which you can do. Again, you can put them in a little jar and with some rocks. Mm-hmm. So that'll break that seed coat and get those started. And there's different varieties of those as well. Not just the bluebonnet, but the Alamo Fire, which is an A&M
release
cultivar of the bluebonnet. So those are some thoughts that, you know, things that you can do.
And our past co-host and producer Norma Martinez always had bluebonnets growing in her yard. So you can grow bluebonnets in El Paso, and it just takes a little extra time. You want to make sure that you have that artificial winter for them and some little scarification, break up that seed coat, and they actually look like little pebbles. So they're interesting looking little seeds, but definitely they are our Texas state flower. So we want to make sure that we have our bluebonnets in season. And if you, depending on what type you get or species you get, you can actually cut those off as cut flowers.
And they are so pretty. They are just okay. And there's nothing like looking out in your garden in the wintertime when many things are dormant, maybe they've died back a little bit and you're thinking, oh, this looks terrible. And then you've got little pops of color all over with many of these winter plants. Pansies are a great idea. Mm-hmm. Snapdragons. And I think a lot of those things make you think of, you know, the good old days. I know I do think about back to my mother because she always had beautiful snaps and those kinds of things. And of course, it's also a good time to be thinking about your bulbs. It's a good time to purchase your spring flowering bulbs like daffodils, iris, and tulips. Mm-hmm. And with your iris, you know, if you know anybody that has them, then you don't have to buy them because they're very prolific.
You just divide those out, right?
Divide them out. But if you could purchase now, then you've got a better shot at the best selection. And many of them require that extra chilling over the wintertime. You know, if you live in the east, then you don't have to worry about it because the ground is so cold. But we often have to put them in a refrigerator. But put them in a bag that breathes. Mm-hmm. Put them in your butter crisper drawer. I think many of us have garage refrigerators, so that's, you know, don't get them mixed up with your apples and pears. But
right, exactly. No, that's very true. There's a lot of ripening hormones going on there and gases being exchanged that we don't want them to sprout beforehand. And definitely, I know that there's a lot of areas, there are big box stores too, that you can purchase a big assortment of bulbs right now. And the earlier you get them in the season, the fresher that they'll be. But really, it's holding on to them before you get them into the ground itself. I personally, if I'm going to do any kind of bulbs, they're going to be in containers because I want to know where they're at.
I want to know where
to look for them come springtime as well.
Well, you have calendulas and the calla lilies. They get, you know, the size of trees.
Right.
They get very large and so they can really take over. But I think too, you were talking about planning earlier. As you plan your flower beds, you know, think of it seasonally. You know, when do my iris bloom? Because they only bloom once in the year. So you want to have other things that are planted among those iris so that you have a constant show of color. And that's part of your planning. Your little hyacinth, they're really pretty when they come up in the spring. And again, you know, this is the time to purchase those. So you can plant those in front of some of your taller things and just have an idea of, and there's all sorts of ideas out there on Pinterest and in all of your gardening magazines about I get tickled at the magazines because they're all from areas that, you know, have these lush gardens that probably wouldn't make it here. But we can do the same thing with the natives and the adaptive natives that grow well here in El Paso. And I know our container gardener guru and the Master Gardener Association always says plant a lot of things. You know, they're down there in the ground vying for each other's attention and the nutrients in the soil. And then what happens on the top is you have this gorgeous show of color. And fall's a great time to do that.
And we also have some time to plant a little fall garden or winter garden as well. We're still about our first hard freeze is the middle of November, so we still have several weeks to be able to get established.
Yes.
Some cold crops, maybe some broccoli, some really great carrots or something. Swiss chard is also mm-hmm. a great area to be able to, you know, plant that. And as the other seasons, as we kind of slow down on other things, we can kind of keep some greenery going on into the garden as well.
And we've talked before, Denise, about the option of planting those things in among our ornamentals. You know, if as long as we've amended that soil, our plants don't care, for the most part, who they're living with. You want to have your plants that have the same light and water and fertilizer requirements together. But many of the lettuces, the spinaches, like you said, the kale, there's ornamental kale that's beautiful, Swiss chard, all those things that are really good for us, those leafy greens that are really good for us, are very pretty in among the garden. And, of course, you can always do them in a container. Whiskey barrels are great containers for planting a good stand of lettuce.
Definitely. And as long as you get them in the ground and established before the heart freezes set in, then they'll be fine. They'll slow down a little bit if the weather does turn a little too cold. But if you plant them in the ground now, very easily by seed, you'll be able to get a nice stand come the fall and winter time. And don't forget to also separate those sowing dates too. You don't want to have all of your plants harvested at the same time.
Right.
Separate those between 1 or 2 weeks, and then you'll have those succession mm-hmm. plantings, and you'll have a longer harvest period for that.
And stagger those. And as far as herbs are concerned, there's also winter herbs. Most of our herbs are Mediterranean, and they like the heat. But this is... I think I mentioned on a previous show that I have learned from the International Master Gardener Conference that cilantro has now taken over as a favorite herb over basil. Kind of broke my heart because I'm a big basil person, but I also love the cilantro. And this is the time to sow it. It's a cool weather herb. So is dill. Mm-hmm. And garlic chives are doing really well right now.
And they're
edible and they're beautiful in the garden. They give you a really pretty blossom. So now is the time to be thinking about those things. And what better time to garden? You know, you don't have to kill yourself in the heat and
the wind.
And the wind,
and the
yes. it really is an ideal time to garden. So kind of, you know, loosen that paradigm about I can only do it in the spring. Makes a big difference.
And even though it's difficult to pare down one plant of the week, I think we've chosen ours. And Jan, you want to share that with us?
Yes, the red corn poppy that I was talking about, the little wildflower, and it's just beautiful. And once you get it going, you will have it year after year after year. And then you can also sow many seeds to share with your friends and neighbors.
Wonderful. So go out, buy your seeds, and plant them in the ground today.
Today.
Well, we're almost out of time for today's show, but we want to thank Lauren Therosis for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petrozelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.